I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Live. The Bills practicing as we speak outdoors on the grass practice field next to the Ant Pro Sports Training Center. Ty Insecki not practicing today with his ankle. In fact, head coach John McDermott says Insecki is week to week. So the mantle is tossed to rookie Cody Ford, who's got about half the snaps and nine starts already at right tackle, likely to be the man at right tackle moving forward. Safety Saran Neal, an important special teamer for the Bills, remains in concussion protocol. No practice today for defensive end Jerry Hughes with his groin, and a veteran rest day for Lorenzo Alexander and for John Brown. Sunday's referee is going to be Jerome Boger. The weather looks okay. Snow showers in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy. Temperature in the mid to upper 30s. Bills and the Broncos, Sunday, 1 o'clock here at New Era Field. Got the radio broadcast on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll have play-by-play. Eric Wood with me in the booth. Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. Bills quarterback Josh Allen named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his play last week against Miami when he threw for 256 yards operating out of a no-huddle attack. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. NFL revealing the 100 greatest players and 10 greatest coaches in NFL history this week. And every Friday night at 8 o'clock on NFL Network, they announce the latest members. The all-time coaches list was announced today. 20 finalists, including Buffalo's own Marv Levy, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee who led the Bills to four straight Super Bowls. He is a finalist for the NFL's all-time coaching team. There's going to be 10 of them. Tyreek Hill is injury deemed minor from Monday night, and he is considered day-to-day. He wanted to return to last Monday's game against the Chargers, could not avoid and could avoid missing any time, thanks to Kansas City's bye coming up next week. Cleveland Browns have designated tight end David Njoku for a return from injury reserve. He could resume practicing later today. And the Buffalo Sabres lost to Minnesota last night 4-1 at KeyBank Center. Brandon Montour with a lone Buffalo goal. Sabres have lost 8 of their last 9 back at practice today, and they leave for a 3-game road trip. They face the Bruins tomorrow night. That's the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. On the line with us, our Wednesday guest, 1 o'clock. Happy to have him, too. ESPN NFL insider and the host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field Yates joined us. Hello, Field. Thanks for coming on with us.
Guys, good afternoon. How are you today?
We're doing great. Studio. You're in a studio down there in Bristol?
In a studio. That's right. Warming up the pipes. I'll be hosting the Will Cain Show from 3 to 6 p.m. with longtime NFL executive Mike Tannenbaum. So plenty of football talk.
Excellent.
Oh, very nice.
After your guys' show is over, the audience can join us.
That's great.
Oh, hey, there you go.
We've been trying to get Tannenbaum on our show. Would you put in a word for us, please?
I have a direct line to Mike Tannenbaum. I can make it happen for you.
Thanks.
I guess you've heard, and what did you think about Josh Allen being named Offensive Player of the Week for the AFC?
Yeah, I thought it was merited after a wonderful performance this past week. Most obviously his most complete game of the season, effective through the air, effective on the ground, and just the kind of game that you should take care of business against the Dolphins. It's a team that you have decidedly more talent than, and you should win that game 100 times out of 100 if you want to stay in the playoff race and legitimize that 7-3 record. I thought it was a really important performance from Josh, certainly a confidence builder, and one that merited that AFC Player of the Week award.
I feel that this year you have become more impressed by Josh Allen's performance. Clearly, everybody sees there's room for improvement, but he has taken significant steps forward this year compared to his first 11 games last year, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so, and it's the numbers that tell part of the story. I know the accuracy is still going to be something that people harp on a ton. I would say the context is important. I feel like the Bills' weapons this year are far more desirable, and he's making use of those weapons. Obviously, John Brown's been a revelation for them in free agency. Dawson Knox has contributed more and more of late. The offensive line is still good, not great yet, but I think that's helped a lot this year from Josh. I think he's been smart in terms of picking his spots to be a runner. And, you know, I think we just have this desire for things to come together fast for quarterbacks, given that there are prodigious talents like Patrick Mahomes and others that make it happen right away. But at the end of the day, Josh Allen is on the right track. I think the Bills should feel good about the overall performance up to this point. 7-3 is kind of right where you want to be at this juncture of the season.
Well, what are we looking at here? And that's the big question. You got six games left in the season. The Bills' schedule goes from the easiest to one of the most difficult. I'm exaggerating to make a point. Not the most easy, but a very easy schedule to a very difficult schedule in the next six games. What can the Bills fans and people around the country expect from this Bills team, given the fact that they've waded through these the softer schedule pretty well, and now look at six games to finish the season? What are we looking at? Are they good enough to plow through that schedule? Are we going to see them improve? Are we going to see them hold their own? Are we going to see them flounder?
Yeah, it's a gut check 4-week schedule, and I don't want to mitigate the importance of Sunday's game against the Broncos, but I do believe that's a game you should win, especially playing at home against a 3-7 Broncos team that's down to its second-string quarterback. But it's the four games after that. Obviously, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, the Patriots in New England's a tough test, and then the two games in between, the AFC North team that you are facing off against, are huge challenges there for the Bills. But I think if you can split those two games, you feel really good about your you feel really good about your chances of making the playoffs. You know, it's weird because on the outside, we spend all of our time looking at the entirety of the schedule, and then we laugh at teams when they say they want to go week by week. But that's the only way the Bills can make it through this, is they can't be focused on what's ahead still. Because if they overlook the Broncos, they could have what almost happened to the Vikings this past week, which is the Vikings getting all they could handle from the Broncos at Minnesota, having to go down to literally the final play of the game. So tough stretch, no question about that. But for the Bills, the focus has to be not, hey, can we survive entering week 17 at, you know, something like 10-5? It has to be, can we get to 8-3 on Sunday? Because if they do that, they're still in a really good spot, I still believe, to make the playoffs.
With Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, you mentioned a moment ago how wide receiver of the Bills, John Brown, has been a revelation for the Bills. Is he a revelation around the NFL? I mean, he had good years at Arizona, a decent half season anyway, last year at Baltimore. Are people surprised by John Brown's production this year, do you think?
Probably not totally surprised, because you're right, it's been there in spurts previously. I think it's just the consistency that's so impressive. At least 50 receiving yards in all 10 games so far this year. We know he's a big play waiting to happen with that outstanding speed, but so reliable, so consistently targeted by Josh, and I think it's just been an encouraging connection. I think there were some people that felt like, hey, going into this year, the speed wide receiver you might want to add if you're the Bills is a guy that can be more physical at the point of catch, because Josh Allen was still a developing player in terms of his accuracy down the field. Nope, John Brown has been everything that the Bills could have asked for and that Brandon Bean could have imagined when he doled out that 3-year, $27 million deal. I think when you look back in free agency, it's been one of the most impactful, acquisitions across the league. It's been a home run. Obviously, you've always known he's a great character, great person, and when you can combine great person with great production, it's hard to ask for anything more than that in the NFL.
Field, I think I know what people mean when they say number one wide receiver, and yet I see John Brown and I think, why isn't he considered a number one? Does he have what it takes? What do you think?
Yeah, probably a little bit is due to the fact that he's not built like a normal number one wide receiver, right? Yeah, I mean, a guy that, relatively speaking, is a small player in the NFL. That does not necessarily need to matter, though. We see guys get it done in all ways, shapes, and form. And also, I just think that he's been awesome. The volume hasn't been quite as productive as somebody like Michael Thomas, which is why he's being talked about as the unquestioned number one wide receiver in football this year with 94 catches already. You know, I don't grapple too much with those kind of things. You know, I don't think the Bills need to be too bogged down about whether John Brown is a number one wide receiver or not. The guy's been incredible for them, and I think that's probably what, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and Brian Daboll are much more focused on, is that we have a guy who every single week, no matter who we're playing, no matter where we're playing, no matter what the weather is like, we're going to get solid production out of him. And like I said, 50 or more yards in every game so far this season. You know, that's not bad right there. Yep. He's certainly going to have a chance to challenge for probably some Bills records by the time the end of the season is at its end.
Well, the Bills play the Denver Broncos this weekend. Both teams kind of structured around their defenses. The Broncos defense with Von Miller up front. The Bills defense with their great secondary who covers people up. And they're actually, with seven sacks last week, it puts them into pretty good position with sacks or pressures per play. What was that?
They're seventh in seventh sack in percentage.
Sack percentage. They're seventh in the league and sack percentage per play. So the Bills defense, Broncos defense kind of face off in this game this weekend. How do you see this game unfolding?
I think the Bills end up winning this game. I think they are better on defense. I think they're better on offense. I think they're better on special teams as well and have an edge being at home. And not that Denver doesn't play in some wonky conditions themselves, but I heard Murph mention we're going to have – I like how you said, like, you know, not looking like too much of a weather consideration on Sunday, just snow showers in the morning. We're in, like, you know, 27 NFL markets. That's, like, a major cause for concern. In Buffalo, we just call that Sunday in November,
it's
right?
It's different
that's
up here. I admit it. It's different here.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, and I love it. It's one of the – as I will always I will always contend that Western New York football is some of the best football. To me, it's one of the best game day atmospheres in any sport. I really believe that. I loved because I don't end up making it to games anymore with my duties in studio on Sundays, but I used to love going to games up there at the Ralph and now at New Era Field as well. But I do think that the Bills are a better team. They have better strengths across the board. Defensively, they should be able to put the screws on this Denver passing offense. I think the key players to watch from the Broncos, obviously Cortland Sutton, who's really become a star wide receiver for them, second-year player out of SMU, has taken on a larger role week by week. And then Noah Fant, sort of intriguing for Bills fans. They've certainly liked what they've seen out of Dawson Knox over the past few weeks. A guy drafted a couple rounds ahead of him was Noah Fant, 20th overall pick in this year's class, out of Iowa, one of two Iowa tight ends to go in the first round. And Fant has been a huge part of their passing game. He had four catches last week on 11 targets, but interestingly, he's so versatile and so athletic, they actually handed the football off to him twice. So don't be surprised if you see them get creative with the ways they can use Noah Fant this Sunday, a guy who's got plenty of skill and should see plenty of opportunity right in the middle of the field. So a great test for, you know, those terrific, the terrific duo of safeties between Micah Hyde and also Jordan Poyer on Sunday for the Bills.
A couple of minutes ago, Field, I was telling our production crew in the other room how much I like Noah Fant, how important he is to their offense, and they screamed at me. They said, he dropped the game-winning touchdown pass in Minnesota last week. They're right. I just think he's a really impactful player, potentially really impactful.
Well, so I actually sort of feel like that last play makes both arguments, right? I mean, for those that are not yet sold on Noah Fant, they'd say, you got to make that play. For those that are like you and I that feel like they've got something going there, you might say, all right, when the game was on the line, the game was literally touchdown or loss.
Yep.
Who did the Broncos turn to? And the answer was, of course, Noah Fant in the end zone. And, you know, I actually thought it was pretty obvious holding on that play myself. But as we know, guys, as we now know, it doesn't matter if there's holding or interference. And if the refs don't call it, don't bother burning your timeout because you're not going to win the challenge.
That's right.
That much is clear now in the NFL.
Well, it's not so much that they turned to Noah Fant. It's that they had to turn to Brandon Allen to make that throw, and I think that was
the bigger problem.
That was probably the bigger problem on that play. Yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Allen has been okay stepping in for Joe Flacco, but I think it'll be really interesting, and this is not necessarily specific to Sunday, but I'll be really interested to see whether the Broncos end up eventually getting some time for Drew Locke, their second-round pick out of Missouri. He dealt with a wrist injury that put him on IR, now has been designated to return. Would be sort of intriguing to see him get two or three starts at the end of the year. Might give you some confidence to either plan on starting him next year, or might tell you, you know something? We might have to go shopping this offseason for our first-round quarterback.
I have one more Broncos question for you. And I read a weird report. I think it was Jason Luck on Four this week, talked about a rift developing between their new head coach, the veteran Vic Fangio, and some of the players. And I'm thinking, when I watched the Broncos a couple of times this week already, I thought, these guys are scrappy. They play hard for that coach. I don't know what to make of all that.
Yeah, well, I saw that several players after the game said, I'm sorry, what? I love Vic Fangio. I love that guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I tend to see the same thing that you do. A team that is playing rather inspired football. It's just that, you know, they're not, you know, I just don't want to be unkind, but they're just not talented enough right now, right? And they probably know that. Some of the star players in that locker room, Von Miller and Chris Harris, have seen better Broncos rosters in the past. Offensively, they're limited because the offensive line remains a major concern for them. Defensively, they don't have quite the same number of playmakers that they had as they have had in the past, but they're tough. They're pretty rugged. And I don't get the sense that Vic Fangio sort of lost the locker room. They were gritty last week, and there was a time you know, after a really poor start where it felt like maybe the Broncos were onto something. You know, they're 3-7 now, so a team that season's not about making the playoffs now. It's about finding out who are the cornerstones that you can build around going forward. But I personally don't see a team that's not responding to the head coach.
I agree. Hey, Field, let's move around the league a little bit. Tom Brady apparently not crazy about the what the Patriots are doing offensively, and yet they just keep rolling along. Does Brady have does he have a beef? What do you think?
I don't know about a beef. It might just be disappointment in himself, right? Because Tom Brady himself is leaving yards on the field, and I understand that they're winning. I also understand that he wants to be better and more efficient. And when you're used to, and you've got whatever it is, 18 years of being a high-level offense, or maybe more like 15 years of being a really high-level offense, you're probably saying to yourself, it's frustrating when we don't go out there and put up at least 30 points in a given game. For the Patriots, they do get Isaiah Wynn back this week, their left tackle. That'll help, because I feel like a lot of the Patriots' issues start with the offensive line. But they've got to figure some things out here. You mentioned how the Bills had sort of their schedule was softer on the front end and more difficult on the back end. The Patriots are sort of the same way. Their schedule does get stronger, as in like the tough, more difficult opponents going forward. But the Patriots, probably of the teams they play going forward, have some more vulnerable defenses they can move the football against. So if the Patriots offense is going to find some mojo, it's going to have to come against these next four or so opponents where the defense may not be as great on paper. The offense is really good, but the Patriots offense, Tom Brady himself needs to build some confidence right now if they want to make a run.
And I was going to take you out to the West Coast as well. What do you think about Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr? Which guy's playing better for their Bay team?
That's a good question. I think probably given the context that it's hard to say. Like, I don't want to say Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing well enough for the 49ers because they're 9-1. They're right there. But there's been more asked of Derek Carr. Now, their schedule hasn't been super tough themselves, but I've been pretty impressed with Derek Carr. I think about all the circumstances and the adversity he's faced over the past year or so, right? People wondering whether John Gruden even wanted them on the roster, whether he was the right fit for the team long term. They've dealt with some injuries at wide receiver. That's why they've made a number of moves, including acquiring Zay Jones from the Bills, try to fortify that receiver group. Both have been solid. I think I give the edge, though, to Derek Carr. And, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be really put to the test because over the next 3 weeks, the 49ers' schedule is no joke. They've got, I believe in succession, it goes the Packers this Sunday and then the Ravens and then the Seahawks. So three very, very, very good teams they're going to have to play. And at least one of those games is on the road.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, and the host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Folks have sent in their fantasy football questions for you, Field. Let me read a few from Twitter. JB tweets this in. Out of these three players, which two should I play in a PPR league? Robert Woods, James White, Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm going to go with the two guys that I think are most healthy, James White and Robert Woods. Emmanuel Sanders has been banged up. The matchup is not terrible on Sunday night. As long as we get clearance that Robert Woods is going to play, he missed this past Sunday night game due to personal reasons. I would go with Woods and White.
What about this one? Your advice to play Josh Allen 3 weeks ago sent her on a three-game winning streak. She's sitting at 6-5, nice. But should she start Devin Singletary or Miles Sanders at her flex position in a PPR league?
I know the Eagles really need to win on Sunday, but I think I would go with Devin Singletary, guys. He just looked better. I know Miles Sanders has been solid in a sort of a variety of ways for the Eagles. Been very good in the passing game, good return man for them. But I think I would go with Devin Singletary. Again, I think the Bills, this is a game they could win to score some points on Sunday.
This next question on Twitter, I have to read, Field, because it carries an really amazing amazing manners, really, the kind of courtesy you don't get from Twitter very often. Postman Pilot says, Mr. Yates, please reassure me that I made the correct move by dropping Jared Goff and adding Nick Foles. How do you compare their potential come fantasy playoffs? I'm second-guessing myself. I also have cousins. I assume the odds you'd sit in for the other two are slim. Thanks. Who's that polite on Twitter?
Is that like a bot or something? Is that a bot that was wired the wrong way?
Seriously.
And was told to say nice things, not mean things? But I completely agree with the decision, by the way. Jared Goff does not need to be rostered in fantasy football right now. The Rams offense is in a major funk at the moment, and the schedule they play does not get necessarily easier. Nick Foles would be my preference to play this week, and then my preference to have is your backup to Kirk Cousins, who has been lights out of late for Minnesota. They're on a bye this week, but it's an incredibly polite person. My answer is when Kirk Cousins comes back in week 13, he's your starter. But if he's got a bad matchup or he starts to fade, then you have Nick Foles waiting in the wing.
All right, here's one from George. This is a PPR flex option. Which of the two? Sterling Shepard versus Chicago or Tevin Coleman versus Green Bay?
I think this one's going to be made easy for you because if Sterling Shepard plays, I'd go with Shepard. If he doesn't play, and although he's been a full participant in practice twice this week, Sterling Shepard, many will recall, a few weeks back was cleared from the concussion protocol, announced as off the injury report, and then on Sunday around 12:30 that day, he was announced to be out because he had been put back in the concussion protocol for the Giants game against the Lions, I believe Monday Night Football it was. So if Shepard plays, and that's an if, Shepard's the answer. If not, simple, go to Coleman.
Field, thanks for this. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you on the Will Cain Show later today. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys. Good talking to you as always.
Right, Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, the host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, going to co-host the Will Cain Show on ESPN later today. He'll put in a word for us for Mike Tannenbaum, right? We're not dying to get Mike Tannenbaum
on. Man.
What?
Got to get him on.
Yeah. I think he'd be a good guest for us. Hook us up. All right, a break here. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. It's One Bills Live from our Seneca studio in Archer Park. Bills practice continues. When practice ends today, we will be talking with Micah Hyde, Bills safety. Micah Hyde will join us after practice. And we'll hear from Josh Allen, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Got a good guest here, former Buffalo Bill. Spent the 2006 season with the Bills. Played safety in the NFL for 7 seasons. He is the host of ESPN's NFL Matchup, along with our buddy Greg Cosell. Happy to have Matt Bowen on the line. Matt, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We were saying, I don't think we've talked to you since the Combine. That's a long time ago. Thanks for coming on with us here today.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm glad you guys have me back. And it's cool that you're having Mike on later. I'm a Hawkeye, too.
That's so, right.
Yeah, there you go. We're staying full Iowa, in full Iowa mode.
Important things first. How did your high school team do this year?
Well, we just got knocked out. We had a good run, though. We won 10 games this year. We lost in the state quarterfinals on the road up at a school called Richmond Burton. And Steve would know this. It was old school. I mean, it snowed all week here, and I don't think there was a blade of grass up in the field by the end of the day. So, old school game, physical, but they're a good football team, and they deserve to win that game. And, you know, I told our seniors afterwards, you know, I miss not being at practice this week. But they had a great run. Those seniors leave with 3 state title rings in this program.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That does bring back a lot of memories for me, too, back in the plains of Kansas when I grew up as well. We got guys who grew up out west as well and played his college football out there. Josh Allen's AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Did he show you anything special or different or more than he has in past weeks, Matt?
I just think he had real command of the offense. And, you know, he's played very well against Miami, you know, in his 2 years in the league. He played very well against Miami, especially down there. You go back to the tape from last year down at Miami. I think he had command of the offense. I think it was a great game script and how the Buffalo coaching staff managed that call sheet throughout the day, because he saw everything, I think, that really caters to what Josh does best in terms of the play action, the run-pass options, taking a couple of shots down the field, getting him on the move, and then what I always say about Josh Allen, I wrote about Josh last week. I had a post, re-ranking the 2018 quarterback class. I had him at number two right behind Lamar Jackson because of how Buffalo maximizes his strengths. And in addition to that, with Josh, you always get what Greg and I at Matchup Show called second reaction ability. And that's when a play breaks down. When your first and second read isn't there or you get pressure, his ability to get outside the pocket and make plays. That's also in addition to some quarterback design runs you saw also in that game. So I thought it was a great game script. And I'll tell you what, I posted this play on Twitter earlier in the week. That throw he had to John Brown down the sideline was one of the best throws I've seen this season from any quarterback. And that's why arm talent does matter in certain situations. That was an absolute rocket down the sideline.
Yeah. Are you bothered by the fact that he's got 15 rushing touchdowns in 2 years and he runs for the touchdowns he does? Is that a plus or a minus? Does he do it too much? Does he do it not enough? How do you think that fits in to his game? Certainly it's part of his total package.
I think it is. And I think as a coach, you want to cater to that within reason. I don't think you want Josh carrying the ball 15 times a game. I don't. But can you sprinkle in enough quarterback runs? And especially inside the plus 10-yard line, I think that's a great time to use quarterback design runs or RPOs because you get plus one. You get plus one at the point of attack because now your quarterback's carrying the football. And he has the size, athleticism, and speed, especially if you run quarterback design runs on the edge of the formation. But also that goes back to what we were just talking about, the second reaction plays. Because if it's not there, he can do that for you. And not just extend the play, but also tuck the ball down and run. And I know that everyone says we have to protect quarterbacks. I've always said quarterbacks can get hurt thrown in the pocket as well. And you're seeing down in Baltimore right now with Lamar Jackson and the impact he's had on opposing defenses. Because I can tell you, as a former defensive player, when you face a quarterback with high-end athletic traits like Josh Allen, plus quarterback runs, plus his ability to scramble, it really impacts what you can do from a defensive perspective. There are certain coverages you really don't want to run. You don't want to be in two-man with two deep safeties and man under technique underneath, because if he pulls the ball down, that's an automatic 10 yards right there. Cover one, you have to be careful. When you pressure, you have to be careful. So it does impact defenses.
I want to get you back, Matt, if I could, to the 40-yard touchdown pass to John Brown that you said one of the best throws you've seen. And I was trying to make this point to Steven on the show here Monday. I didn't explain it as articulately as you just have, but that's the kind of thing that, the Bills can work with Josh and get him to be, see the field better and make better decisions, all that stuff, and that's all important. But there are certain innate characteristics he has that make him, really an interesting prospect. And I thought it was on display on that 40-yard touchdown, didn't you?
Yeah, and you guys know better than me, but on the film, it looked like he checked to something at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And he might have checked to that play, which tells you he's seeing the field. And also his mechanics throughout the drop. He looks to the field side of the formation because he knows he has cover two. And he gets a little shoulder look, a little pump fake with the football. And I've been in that situation as a deep pass safety. You start to weave in your pedal and slide inside. Well, now that safety's off his landmark. And the landmark in cover two is on the top of the numbers. And if you're not on the top of the numbers versus a quarterback with the arm talent of Josh Allen, you're not getting to that ball. You're not. And he put that ball on a line. Like I said, it was a rocket throw. Got over the top of the corner. And then to get it to one of your explosive play weapons and John Brown down the sideline. So that was a good look at a young quarterback processing, seeing the field, and using his traits to make a big play.
Well, one of the most consistent weapons he's had has been John Brown throughout the season. Mm-hmm. He's got 50 yards of receiving every game this season at least. What are your thoughts about John Brown and how good he could be, how much the Bills are possibly going to rely on him? Is he up to that, do you think?
I think he is, because I think he's a prime fit for what they do offensively. Everyone knows he has the deep ball speed. But also, you look at their film and how many isolation routes they run with him. What I mean by that is play action, throw the deep out. Play action, throw the comeback, the curl, the in-breaking routes. Use the deep crosses. There's so many ways they can get him the football, really intermediate to deep. And I think that's kind of the sweet spot. And I wrote about this last week with Josh. That's where he makes his best throws, 10 to 20 yards down the field. If you look at the numbers and in terms of air yards per target and when he has the best completion percentage, he's in the top 10 in the NFL in that area of the field. Where Josh struggles sometimes is on the quick game throws. And I think that's because still early in his career, and you saw this on his college team as well, he can be at times a one-speed thrower. And when you're a one-speed thrower, sometimes you miss. You know, you put so much heat on the football that you miss on slants, you miss on unders. That's where he has to improve. But in that 10 to 20 yard range, where I think John Brown is a great fit in terms of the Buffalo route tree, he can be very productive for this offense down the stretch.
With Matt Bowen, former NFL safety, he is now co-host of ESPN's NFL Matchup. I have another Bills question for you. And yes, 37 points, things look great. Josh, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. But where's the area that the Bills need to improve on offensively, Matt? Sort of a, I guess, a wide-ranging question. But half a dozen games left, what should they look to be doing better on offense, do you think?
Well, I mentioned the quick game. I think that needs to improve. More higher percentage throws for Josh. I think he can improve in that area. I think what you're seeing now is the impact of Devin Singletary. Okay, because I go back to Devin Singletary, and I study his college film a lot at FAU. You know, he's an electric talent in terms of his footwork, his lateral ability, his short area speed. What I'd like to see there is more production from him in the passing game, because I think that could be an added dynamic to your offense down the stretch if you can threaten out of the backfield with Devin Singletary. And you've seen throughout the season, he's made plays in the passing game, but I think more volume to Devin Singletary. Also, Dawson Knox. You know, we're talking about young players. Think about how young this offense really is. With Josh, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox, another young player. But Dawson Knox, going back to his college career, not a ton of production in terms of volume of targets, but I think the athletic traits are there. I think the speed is there, and he can be another weapon for them on middle-of-the-field throws. So what we're talking about right here, Devin Singletary, more high-percentage throws, screens, checkdowns, getting him involved in combination routes out of the backfield that are easier throws for Josh to move the sticks and yards after the catch. Same thing with Dawson Knox. Those are two players right there. Now, you're asking a lot from young players, but this is a young football team that can really increase their role. And obviously, I'm not calling plays for the Bills. I understand that. But if I was, those are two guys that really want to get involved down the stretch.
Let's talk a little bit about the Bills' next opponent, the Denver Broncos. They've got their own running back in Phillip Lindsay. Talk to us about what his strengths are and about this Denver offense. Of course, with Brandon Allen at quarterback, it looks a little different than it did with Joe Flacco. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it does look different. You have a young quarterback in there. And, you know, last week's game was, you know, if I'm the Bills defensively, you have to be prepared for everything. You know, last week they ran some gadget plays, some reverse passes. They ran a lot of stuff. So you're gonna, you know, you get that late in the season, Steve. You know that in the NFL. When teams are out of it, they're going to try some things. You know, they got nothing to lose. You know, Brandon Allen is – I think he's done a good job in that offense. You know, I don't think he's a high-level thrower. Again, he's a young player that's kind of just thrown into the mix. But they do have some offensive weapons. Cortland Sutton, I've been really impressed with him. And I remember Cortland Sutton coming out of SMU in college. And I thought, you know, real high-end athletic traits in terms of size, straight-line speed down the field, you know, a limited route tree at SMU. He's really developed quickly. He's a deep ball threat. He can run after the catch. You mentioned Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay, you know, he can shake you inside of a phone booth. His footwork is exceptional. And he's a physical player with a smaller frame. You really have to square him up on tackles. But I think those are those two key players for that offense right now. And Noah Fant. Obviously, I know Noah Fant is an Iowa alum just like me. Noah Fant is, you know, a slot tight end. That's what he is. I mean, he's a tight end who can run the entire route tree, and his volume is going up in terms of the targets, and he has explosive play ability. So it'll be interesting to see how Buffalo game plans for him, but I don't think much will change. When you watch the Bills defensively, they're one of the most fundamentally sound defenses in the NFL. That's what they are. You know, they're not super creative. You know, they're not sending pressure, you know, rushing people out of the stands or anything like that. They do what they do. They tackle well. They put a top on the secondary and the back end to try to limit explosive plays. And they can engineer pressure when they have to. And more importantly, they tackle. I mean, the best defenses in the NFL tackle. And you see that a lot from the Buffalo defense.
Hey, man, I want to ask you about the Buffalo defense and the stat that came up from your group at the ESPN NFL matchup. And look, I said this on our show a couple of days ago. People might be surprised to hear the Bills are seventh in the league right now in sack percentage. You guys went deeper, and you have a stat about disrupted dropback percentage. Can you talk about that and where the Bills rank? They're pretty highly ranked in that.
Right. Disrupted dropbacks, you know, that's something when I was in Washington, when Greg Williams was their defense coordinator, that's how we track production. So, obviously, everyone wants to get sacks, and we get that. That's great. But if you can disrupt the quarterback, if you can put a hit on the quarterback, if you can disrupt the throw, if you can tip a pass, If you can move him off the spot and make him extend the play and throw the football out of bounds, that's still a win for your defense. That's still a win. And Buffalo is ranked very high in there. You know, one thing Buffalo does that I think is great is what they do from a pre-snap alignment perspective. You see those linebackers walked up in the A-gaps, you know, and when you see that as a quarterback, you don't really know what you're getting. They do an excellent job at rotating post-snap. That includes the linebackers to the secondary. Micah Hyde can show down if he's covering a tight end. The ball is snapped and he's playing cover two. That is an extremely hard technique to do. It's hard to teach. You have to have very smart football players and very versatile football players in your back seven. And that's what you have right now in Buffalo. That's why they can use all the pre-snap disguises and get back to their fundamental core coverages. Again, it's about presentation. You don't have to. You're not going to recreate football. I've always said this, and I might have said it to you guys before. There's only so much you can do with 11 guys in the field. So, you know, everyone pretty much plays the same stuff. It's how you present it and how you execute that. That's why they're one of the better defenses in the NFL.
What does it say about the Bills' defense that they've got? Well, you said it takes 11 guys, but they've got more than 11 guys with a sack this season. They've got right. Like 16 guys who have actually helped them get the quarterback on the ground. What's that say about the philosophy of the Bills' defense, and is it good or bad? If you were playing on the defense, what would it tell you about yourself?
That everyone plays a role, and that's a great thing you have. And that means you go deep into your depth chart, that you have a rotation up front. Do you have guys that can blitz out of the secondary and blitz from the second level? And Greg said this before to you guys. You know, Buffalo doesn't have, you know, Jerry Hughes is a very good rusher. They don't have a dominant edge rusher. You know, they don't have an Aaron Donald inside, you know, or a Khalil Mack on the edge, whereas one guy is going to get you 12 to 15 sacks a season. It's a collective group of pass rushers. One, from a defensive coach perspective, you're coaching the defensive line, you have a deep rotation of guys you can rotate in. And especially late in the season when it's all about pad level. It's all about injuries. It's all about your conditioning level that starts to drop a little bit late in the season as your body starts to wear down. You need those guys to make a run and to get into the postseason.
Hey, Matt, we're big fans of NFL matchup. Thanks to Greg every week, and we're happy to talk with you again. Hope we can do it again sometime. I really love the show, and thank you for carving out a few minutes to be with us here today.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. You have a great week.
Thanks. All right, Matt. Matt Bowen, host of ESPN's NFL Matchup. You'll see it this weekend. He co-hosts that with our buddy Greg Cosell on Fridays. Played 7 years in the league at safety and spent the 06 season with the Buffalo Bills. A lot of good things to say about the Bills. A lot of interesting things, too, about Josh Allen, right? And you know what I like when I asked him about where can they get better? And he focused on two guys, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox, two young guys, two rookies who he thinks – that could be the area of improvement moving forward, the final third of the season here.
And he also thought philosophically the Bills need to get better in their quick passing game.
Yeah.
And the ball comes out of Josh's hands. And he said, too, and we've noticed this as well, it seems like Josh, you know, throws it a little too much velocity on those quick throws. Also, it also seems to me those are the throws he seems to hurry. And they come out a little bit more inaccurate than the other throws. Well, we've seen him. I mean, that throw he made to John Brown and some of the other throws he's made when they're 10, he made this point as well. Josh is really good 10 to 20 yards down the field. He never seems to hurry those throws. He puts velocity on them, no question. But when he sees those quick games, I think he gets a little too quick with them sometimes, and they come out a little bit inaccurately. And I think if that quick game does come around, I think the offense would take a step forward.
All right, we got a break here. Micah Hyde's going to join us when practice ends. That should be momentarily. Come on back. We'll talk more with you about our question of the day. Half a dozen games left for the Bills. How many more wins do you see? It's the third most difficult schedule in the league remaining. How many more wins can they get out of those six games? We got phone lines open to discuss. You can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. You can vote in the Twitter poll. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here till 3 o'clock, believe it or not. We got good shows the rest of the week, too. Have I talked about that? Do I want to talk about that? Do I want to cloud the issue by referring to tomorrow's show? I'm going to. Tyler Palumbas is going to join us tomorrow. He's the sideline reporter, former offensive lineman for the Denver Broncos. He'll be on the show with us tomorrow. Chris Brown from practice will get, forget who we have, a Bills player coming in after practice tomorrow. So we got shows.
Corey Legit.
Yeah, coming in tomorrow.
New guy.
Good. Our question of the day, six games remaining. The Bills with the third most difficult schedule. How many wins do you see in those six games? What do you think? Let's go to the Twitter poll and see what you're saying on the Twitter poll. We've had pretty good response to this. And by the way, you can phone in your comments on this as well. Bills have the third hardest schedule in remaining now, six games to go, third most difficult schedule in the league. How many more wins do you see? 828 votes in, 78% of you say you see two or three more wins. 17% say you see four or more. And 5% of you say you see none or one. What do you think? Let's go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. You want to handle this, Steve, or shall I?
I can do it.
I know you can.
Here we go. From the tweet sheet, from Nick, he says, I think we'll win three more games. The Broncos, Steelers, and Jets are teams we should beat. It's possible that we lose one of those games, but I think it's equally possible that we get an upset win against the Ravens, Cowboys, or Patriots. Either way, it will balance out to three wins. So if he thinks if we're going to get an upset win, we're going to drop one of the ones we should win.
Okay.
There you go.
Jeremiah tweets in 4+. Regardless of who they just played, the Dolphins game will provide a boost in confidence for Josh, and he's the engine that drives the team. You know, I've been thinking about that, Steve. Jeremiah brings it, kind of reminds me of it. I had that thought.
Right.
You know how I am. I think about the Bills essentially all week long. But, we know who they beat. We know how bad the Dolphins are. I went into the game thinking they're going to score 30. They're going to roll these guys, and they did. And what does it mean? It's only the Dolphins. Okay. But
that's what they're supposed to do.
Things came together last week against an inferior opponent, but things came together in kind of an important way, especially for the Buffalo offense. Does that carry over, that confidence boost, that knowledge that, hey, we can do this? I think there is a carryover effect. I think Jeremiah's kind of right about that.
In my experience, thinking back on it, it's getting a long time ago, but you do get a little bit of a boost from a win like that. When you come out and you're convincing on both sides of the football, when you do things well, you both schematically and physically, you came in with the right attitude, you jumped on them, and you didn't let up, and it was four quarters of really good football. What it does for you is brings you back to work the next week, enthusiastic about getting ready to play again, and that enthusiasm and your preparation makes you even better prepared for the next game. Now, I'm not saying you still have to get your mind right and come out with the right attitude like you always do. And every game is different, but it does set you up for a great week of preparation. When you come off a win like that, you feel good about your preparation. You feel confident that it's making you better, and that growth mindset that's always echoed around this building becomes important. And that's how you get better from games like that. It gives you enthusiasm to prepare. And that's what, that basically we all know, that's what makes you better is the preparation.
Got Micah High coming by to stop with us, visit with us. So come on back for that. We're coming to you from the Seneca Studio, One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.